Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Man, Thursday already, and we are happy to be with Mr. Burton Kelso of Integral to talk about all things tech on this Tech Thursday. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm hanging in there. How about you?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm blessed.
Amen to that.
Too stressed to be blessed.
Okay. Too stressed to be blessed, really?
Really, yeah.
Okay. I thought it was the other way around. No. I'm not buying into that one.
I was trying to see if you were
trying to see if I was listening.
Yeah, exactly.
All my brain cells have not died off yet. Keep trying. Okay. Oh my, how are you doing? How are things?
I'm doing good. Seriously. Yeah.
Good. Wonderful.
No complaints on money.
Amen to that. So now let's get down to it. Want to talk about, I guess, T-Mobile and something that's been happening with them recently.
Oh, you make it sound like no one knows what's going on. You're probably a T-Mobile subscriber, or are you not?
I used to be, and I actually loved T-Mobile, especially because I always thought they had very good customer service, and I'm a stickler about that. So, I'm a T-Mobile. We're not with T-Mobile. That's kind of a, how should I put this, a corporate decision on my significant other's behalf. I'll just put it like that.
I got you. Yeah. So I hate to tell you this, but yeah, T-Mobile was breached over the weekend. They're thinking about 40 million subscribers. Personal data has been leaked on the dark web. Information such as names, addresses, driver's license numbers, social security numbers, and, of course, T-Mobile PIN number information as well. So it's a pretty large breach. I think initially it was reported that it was 100 million, but now it's closer to 50 million.
You know I'm doing one of those Home Alone faces right about now.
Right?
So how did this happen? Where do we think this originated?
Oh, just T-Mobile. I don't know if it was them or a third-party vendor, but somebody got into their systems and was able to extract that information. But the bad thing about it is that with T-Mobile, this is like their fourth data breach. So obviously they're not doing a good job as far as protecting consumer data. This one's pretty bad, too, because I hate to tell you this. Even if you were a past T-Mobile customer, this breach could affect you because it's not only current customers. If you signed up for T-Mobile for any service, if you had T-Mobile for any service, they're saying that if you had Sprint, you may not be affected. But I'm thinking, well, if you can go to the T-Mobile store, information about your Sprint account, then T-Mobile's got access to those records too. So I would
That's what I was wondering about.
Yeah, I would take extra precautions as far as if you had any dealings with T-Mobile at all at any period of time.
Oh, that's just kind of sad because I, like I said, I am a T-Mobile fan, even though I don't have them anymore. But I hate to see that happen because they were one of the people that customers. I thought they had good customer service, so I did not leave them like willingly.
Well, they do have good customer service, but their cybersecurity skills are definitely lacking. Aspect.
Yeah, obviously. That's a shame. Now, do you think, I wanted to ask you, with all of the stuff that we've been dealing with lately with ransomware and stuff like this, are we under a cyber attack? Is our country under a cyber attack?
No, these are
like
just good old boy. These are just good old boy hackers. Meaning not, and this isn't
diehard.
This isn't diehard.
Okay.
I think it's more along the lines of just some cyber criminal said, "Hey, we want to get access to this information." And I mean, truth be told, G, most of those larger companies are always under someone's trying to always get in. So, like your financial institutions, your large tech companies, your large telecommunication companies. They're always under attack, so they have to be vigilant 24/7 as far as making sure that their cybersecurity work or their cybersecurity force is doing what needs to be done in order to keep information safe and secure.
You know, this
so we're always it's always diehard. It's always diehard.
I don't know what it was about that movie, but it that's kind of like now my biggest nightmare next to getting hit by a train. I don't know what it was about that movie that really kind of now, you know, I'm wishing for like simpler times now, you know, like low to no tech now, because worry about something different, you know. Yeah.
Right. But it's definitely always diehard because criminals know that your large financial institutions, your large retail spaces, your streaming services, all of those companies have information that can be used to their advantage. So, I mean, it's a 24/7 job that cyber criminals are performing in order to get access to that information. And it's unfortunate that T-Mobile has got caught with their pants down at least four times. It's definitely has caused a problem with their stock, and it's definitely going to cause issues as far as people trusting them with personal information anymore.
Mm-hmm. That kind of goes through. I think we have to look at de-teching ourselves, but not necessarily detecting, but at least streamlining, you know, and I think this pressure to be tied into everything, to you know, have to know everything, have to be connected to everything, and I think we just really need to kind of take that pressure off of ourselves. We don't have to have every streaming service. We don't. I mean, how much of it do you really watch? Seriously. And if you're watching you don't have a life, really. You're living vicariously through a whole bunch of other stuff. What's that?
I really think it's the reverse, though. I mean, think of you as a real estate agent and me as the owner of a tech company. I mean, we deal with personal information all the time. So the responsibility falls in our lap to make sure that we keep our customers' data safe. The problem is that we should be able to sign up for as much of this digital stuff as we want. It's the large companies that are becoming negligent as far as customer data, because I think most of them when it comes to technology or upgrading their cybersecurity infrastructure, a lot of it deals with cost. And when you're a telecommunications company, that really, I mean, you have to be cognizant of that, but at the same time, you have to put your customers' information first. So, yes, mm-hmm. it may be a large upfront cost to add more secure infrastructure as far as cybersecurity, but at the same time, most companies will cut out their IT budget in order to realize a larger profit. And the other problem that occurs is large tech companies sometimes don't keep that information in-house. They go with a third-party vendor who may or may not have the skills or the infrastructure in order to keep information safe. So then criminals realize this, and they take advantage of the situation.
Okay. All right.
So that's what really needs to happen.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can only force a company to do so much. Without getting, let's say, government regulations involved, you know, and you get
right,
complaints
exactly.
about government being too involved. But, I mean, the government really should be involved in saying, okay, if you won't protect your customers, if you, you know, make our, you know, our whole country vulnerable, because that's what you're doing, basically, you should be penalized. There should be some sort of you know, fine, some sort of suspension or some sort of penalty involved in terms of not being responsible. I mean, as a realtor, we have certain things that we have to do. We have a code of ethics that we have to live by. There's certain things that we can't do. We can get reported by customers and other realtors if we are not doing certain things. And there are you know, fines or suspensions or whatever that we have to deal with if we're not doing our job properly. So
right.
Why shouldn't they?
Right. But I've got bad news for you. In the tech space, there really isn't any regulations or rules. So if I decided to be a shady IT person, I can definitely get away with it. And you've seen that happen
mm-hmm.
with some of these bogus tech support companies out here. Like, I know there was
mm-hmm.
a company called iYogi years ago that would just get a list of people and call and do the whole your computer has viruses things, and they were able
oh,
to
yeah.
operate legitimately for years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there has to be regulation set down as far as telecommunication and the IT industry. And I know the FCC on some of that telecom stuff, they do have rules and regulations, but, I mean, it definitely needs to be enforced more when you have these companies that have personal and business data that can definitely ruin lives if the information falls in the wrong hands.
Now, let's say, just using your company, for example, are you regulated in any kind of way? Do you have, like, inspections or audits or anything like that of what you do?
Nope, we sure don't. No IT company does.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because, you can
now,
get
would you
certification.
Be opposed to it?
No, not at all. But, yeah, in the IT industry, you can get certifications to say that you know what you say you know, but at the same time, there's not some overseeing board that's going to look at any IT company that operates and say, well, you know, are you protecting your customer data? Are you running an ethical business? None of that occurs.
See, and that's not right. I mean, other businesses have that. I mean, yeah, we get audited and stuff like that too.
Right.
I mean, we have to have a business license. You don't have to have a business license, do you? I mean, not
as an IT professional, you should, but no, it's not required to have one.
Yeah, we have to go. We have a certain amount of classes we have to take. We have to renew our license every 2 years. You know, we, and if you're, you know, operating, you're supposed to have like a business license, occupational license with the county and stuff like that. I mean, you know, so we've got certain things, hoops we have to jump through. So that's just amazing
right.
to me that there's not that type of regulation when dealing with other people's information and I mean you're really kind of going in and doing surgery, so to speak, on someone's you know information, technical information, you know, to try to work the kinks out, you know, to make things right. And there's nothing.
Right. Right.
This
so
is crazy.
I agree with you. There needs to be a little bit more regulation, and there needs to be more of a penalty if any get a breach. Right now, it's just, well, we may lose some customers, and we're sorry, and maybe we'll get sued and we'll pay a fine. But that doesn't really stop the problem.
Mm-mm. Wow. Well, we hope that, you know, maybe, just maybe, this will get investigated a little. Who would do that? Would it the FCC, Federal Communications Commission?
FCC, yeah, FCC, Congress will probably bring the heads of T-Mobile and chit-chat with them like they did with Facebook a few years ago when they leaked that data.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's, you know.
Slap on the wrist.
But, I mean, what has that done? Yeah, pretty much.
Mm. Maybe this will also, especially if maybe a few people that are doing this audit or investigation with them have end up having some issues of their own, then this maybe they will try to say, okay, we need to have a come to Jesus meeting and put, you know, lay down a law or make some laws that are going to kind of regulate the industries a little bit better.
I agree completely. It needs to happen. Because it's not, a lot of the cybercrime, I mean, yes, it's going to continue, but everyone has to do their part, including the large tech companies, to ensure that people's information is safe.
Okay. Well, we'll just keep following it and see what happens. Well, not just this one. I'm sure there are others, but, you know. T-Mobile is kind of, that's going to be a big impact. And so what do customers do? I mean, I'm still feeling some effects from the whole Yahoo thing several years back. You know, I sign up for stuff but I sign up for stuff and they're like, this is not a valid email. I'm like, it's been a valid email ever since I've had email. You know, it's
right.
a valid email. But I do get that. It's like, you know, that's one of the reasons I end up getting a throwaway email, just to kind of say, okay, I do have another one, you know, and I don't use it that much, but here it is. You know, you try to
right.
use it if you want to.
Well, well, some of the things that they're recommending after this T-Mobile breach is and this one's kind of extreme, but I'll throw it out there first. They're recommending people put a freeze on their credit, and that's a huge one. But you have to look at the information that was leaked out. I mean, you're basically talking about information that was leaked out that could allow a criminal to get access to your identity. I mean, you're talking about names and Social Security numbers and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it definitely can put your identity at risk. So they're recommending people freeze their credit, which that's extreme. But, I mean,
mm-hmm.
in data breaches like that, you have to take extreme measures. I think realistically, T-Mobile is offering, like, credit monitoring services to affected accounts for, like, up to 2 years, which I think is a little bit more realistic. But the question is what service is T-Mobile going to recommend for credit monitoring services? Did you know they're probably going to go with the cheapest option out there that they would have to come out of pocket for? So I would recommend that you probably look at some do investigation on your own to find out which credit monitoring services are the best. Because, I mean, you've got LifeLock, you've got Identity Shield, and, you know, you've got a few others, but you just have to do your own due diligence and make sure that you're going to get the plan that's going to work best for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
you know what? And I know this isn't wrong. This is so wrong. But it almost makes you want to have bad credit, because if you have bad credit, no one's going to want it. You know?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I got bad credit. I got red on them. You do not want this. You know. Anyway,
yeah.
Long pass our first break. You did not keep me honest today. Anyway, we're going to take
sorry.
A break. We are here at Tech Thursday with Burton Kelso on G's Power Hour. If you have questions or you want to join the conversation, the number is 516-387-1944. D's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you. Caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is Tech Thursday, the third Thursday on G's Power Hour, and we're here with Burton Kelso of Integral. And if you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. And so we were talking a little bit about the T-Mobile breach, and I know you also wanted to talk about passwords. Now, I'm doing that sigh because I'm frustrated because yesterday, you know, and I don't know what it is. I believe there are like triggers or something that they put into some of these systems where if you don't do what we want you to do, we're going to force you to do what we want you to do at some point. I found myself having to change a couple of passwords yesterday, which I was not happy about. I have an old brain. I don't need that extra responsibility of trying to remember passwords, and you know I don't trust some of these other things. So, but you're saying that we need to go ahead and change these passwords kind of regularly. Can you talk about this?
Yes. Yes, because data breaches occur all the time, G. And the problem with that is large companies like T-Mobile get the spotlight shined upon them when they experience a data breach. Smaller companies that you deal with aren't going to make the news, and they're not going to self-report if they get breached. So your information's floating out there on the dark web, and you don't know it because some company has leaked your information out. So it's just been a good habit to help protect your information and just change them on a regular basis.
Okay. All right. So, and what
but
do you call regular?
Maybe at least once a year, you know.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, New Year's Day, you can just make it part of your New Year's Day celebration to change your passwords.
Woohoo! Password party. There we go.
That's funny. I love it.
Your own code. Yeah. Okay. you know, I am having with this one entity I won't mention, but I'm having to change my password like
every 90 days. I'm like, I just really kind of got comfortable with the last one. Now you're making me try to, you know, and it can't be one of the last four passwords that you used or whatever. Because, you know, I'm like, hey, let me just rotate these things, you know. But no. Okay.
But with the T-Mobile thing, the thing that you want to make sure of is that with your T-Mobile account, if you use the app, that you're just not using the same password for multiple accounts. So let's say that you set up a password like Squiggly Pig for your T-Mobile account, and you decided to use Squiggly Pig because you can remember it for like your Facebook, Instagram, and maybe your bank account. Well, if criminals figure out that, you know, you're using Squiggly Pig for T-Mobile, then they're going to try to log into your other online accounts with Squiggly Pig to see if they can get access with that. So that's why you want to make sure they're different, and that's why you want to change them on a fairly regular basis.
Okay. All right. And so what other...
And don't use that password. Don't
Squiggly
use that
Pig.
Password.
Oh, trust me, I would not use that one. Anyway. And then you talked about the identity protection services a little bit.
Yeah, we talked about that, and you really, in a breach like this, there is a, you know, there's many services out there, but when you have a breach where you leak Social Security numbers and other personal information, you definitely need to sign up for identity theft services because it obviously they have a lot of information about you. So you want to take every precaution to make sure that someone can't steal your identity.
Okay. All right. And then... so now at this point, do you consider changing services? Do you go somewhere else? Is that going to help? Or this problem just kind of follows you because they just kind of got you now?
It follows you because they got you. So, yeah, if you got mad and decided to leave T-Mobile, it's not going to really do you any good because they already have your information.
So you just got to change
and
a lot of information, possibly.
Well, you've got to lock down your credit and just have a monitoring service to make sure that no one's trying to steal your information. Because, I mean, once it's out there, it's out there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just floating on the dark web forever. I mean, what do you do?
Forever.
You know?
Yeah.
Forever.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's a bad deal. It's really a bad deal.
Yeah.
So the other thing I was going to recommend, too, is that there has been or there probably will be an increased amount of spam or phishing schemes that are geared towards your text messages, your voice calls, and, of course, to your email address. We had a customer yesterday that...
I think I'm already seeing some of those.
Well, we had a customer yesterday who just has a T-Mobile phone for casual purposes, meaning she doesn't give it out to anybody. And so she got a call yesterday saying, your computer – she knew it was a scam, but her deal was that she was worried that her computer was going to become infected and the fact that she wanted to know why all of a sudden she was getting these spam calls. And I'm like, well, that's because T-Mobile got hacked into. So you
does
have
that
to
work?
You have
being
well you
okay.
have the thing you have to worry about is with your spam messages with a breach like this, they can personalize them. So they can call up and say, "Hey G, you know, we're from T-Mobile or we're from whoever." And so since they know who you are, you kind of get an idea of that to fall for a scam. So you really have to be careful now with this breach what type of messages are going to be coming in on your phone and to make sure that you don't fall victim to any scams that occur.
And then one of the things, too, that they're doing now is it's not necessarily an 800 number anymore. They're using local numbers now, too, right?
That's right. They're doing what's called caller ID spoofing, where they find, like, a mobile number, and then they spoof it so that when the caller ID shows up, it shows a local number as opposed to, like, an 888 or, you know, another national number.
Okay, that's comforting. Anyway, we're going to talk more about this when we get back. We're going to take a break. We are here with Burton Kelso of Integral. This is Tech Thursday of G's Power Hour. By the way, I have to extend apologies because I got the link out late to some of you. So, you know, forgive me for that, but, you know, save the link. Listen later when you have some time. And like I always say, save the link anyway. And if you know there's a show that you missed, you can change the date. Like you probably missed yesterday because I didn't put out a link because I was in the middle of a meeting, and I'm sorry. But you know, please just go ahead and save the link, change the date, or go to blogtalkradio.com /NHISG Entertainment. And then you can do a search of G's Power Hour, and you'll find several shows that will come up that way. But we are going to take a break. This is G's Power Hour. I Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we'll be right back. Okay, we're going to keep going. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. It is the third Thursday of the month on G's Power Hour, and we're here with Burton Kelso of Integral. The number, if you have questions, 516-387-1944. Burton, you also wanted, oh, goodness gracious, I just love tech. It just goes out when I need it the most, and keeps my life interesting. But anyway, you wanted to talk about some tips for kids going back to school. I know we touched on some stuff last month, but we wanted to continue and talk about things that kids should be aware of tech-wise when going back to school.
Right, exactly. So I think most parents think that they're ready to get their kids going back to school, but the one aspect that parents don't think about is the whole cyber aspect of making sure that their kids are cyber secure this school year. Obviously, it may be a hybrid of learning again with COVID still raging, but there's several things that parents who have virtual and in-class students need to do in order to keep safe. And one of those is to make sure that you talk to your kids about phishing schemes, because one of the things about phishing schemes is most adults automatically assume that phishing only occurs to them because they have a work email. But kids with online games and other things they sign up for probably hand out their email addresses without thinking about it, but phishing schemes can affect kids and the games that they play online, so you want to make sure that you educate your kids and make sure that they don't fall for any gaming phishing schemes that are asking for personal information, or that could put your financial information at risk because a lot of these games are pay to play. And so a kid may fall under the assumption that it's the game asking for information when in reality it could be the a cyber criminal that's wanting to get your financial data. So make sure you let your kids know about phishing schemes and teach them how to protect themselves against them.
Yeah, I know there's a commercial now that kind of talks about some of this where the kid's asking, I think, the mom for their hair color and some other stuff. But, you may think it's just simple information, but it's just enough. One of the movies I like. Have you ever seen Now You See Me?
No. Is that the one where the Leonardo DiCaprio is running away?
No. This is okay. No, this is actually one where they have these four. I guess you could say they call themselves the Four Horsemen, and they're like magicians or whatever. And there's a scene where one of the people that is financially supporting them, they're on a plane, and they start asking him questions about his background, kind of just in a like casual conversation way, and what they end up doing, because he supposedly built a bunch of people out of some money. They supposedly turned the tables on him and hacked into his account and took money from his accounts and distributed to these people who were wronged. But they supposedly got information to hack his system from this casual conversation they had on a plane. I'll have to send you the information about this movie. It's one of my favorites. It doesn't take necessarily a whole lot. And that's the thing that bothers me now, because I was actually on a conversation with a friend of mine earlier today, and I feel like you're just constantly having to be guarded about everything now.
Yes, you do. And you have to teach your kids that as well, because you know how kids like to share any information, and they're friends with everybody. So in this digital age, it doesn't take much for people to find out information about you. So I agree that you do have to be guarded.
And unfortunately, I was one of those open book type of kids. Like, I just don't tell anything. I would tell my mom's age. I didn't know at the time you weren't supposed to do that, but just anything.
Right.
And now, something as simple as that, you can be used against you, not even in a court of law. So.
That's true.
Educate your kids about phishing. I know you talk about cyberbullying.
Oh, definitely, yeah. Kids are mean, and there's different ways that they can cyberbully. They can do it via text message. They can do it via these chat sessions and games. So obviously you want to make sure that you are looking at their devices to make sure that they aren't being bullied, and, of course, to make sure that they aren't bullying kids. So it's important. Cyberbullying not only affects kids, but it affects adults too, and kids just don't have the young minds to take up bullying. Their minds aren't developed, so if someone says negative things about them, it can definitely have dire consequences. So make sure that your kid's not being a bully, and make sure that your kid's not being bullied.
You also talk about watching for online predators and having conversations about sexting. Can you go into more detail about that?
Yeah, when you deal with tweens and teens, obviously they can start sending out nude photos, and that information can be used to blackmail students. Kids don't realize that once it's on the Internet, it's always on the Internet. We constantly get calls from parents who have the disgruntled ex-boyfriend who sent nudes of their daughter to different people, and once it's out there, it's out there. There are parents that are like, well, I need you to hack into Instagram and remove these photos of my daughter. But you can't, it would be a federal offense to try to hack into someone's Instagram account to remove photos. So kids need to not post stuff online, and they need to understand that sexting is illegal in some places, so definitely don't send explicit text or don't send explicit photos to anybody.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, with all of the people that and all the things that we're dealing with in terms of people having trouble with body issues, you don't want to, you know, bring on any additional scrutiny by, you know, placing those new photos out there or giving them to someone that you think you can trust. Bible says, trust no man. Anyway, one of the things I thought was interesting here, you said, do your children's school-issued laptops use strong filtering software?
Yeah, and for the most part, schools are going to use good filtering software, but you can never be too careful as a parent. So you should always test the waters with your kids' devices to see what they can and can't access on their devices, because there is no all-inclusive blocking software that's going to block everything. So I think parents need to find out where their kids go, and then, of course, to make sure that they're taking steps to ensure that their kids aren't going to specific websites or social media channels, because they're changing all the time, you know. So mm-hmm. a new one pops up. The parental control software, the blocking software with the school's devices may not find it. So you always should take steps to make sure that their devices can't go where you don't want them to go.
Okay. And then one of the things, and not just kids, but us too, teach your kids to never leave their laptops and smartphones unattended. But that includes us too.
Right.
Just don't leave it out there.
Right. Right. That issue is twofold. So the first part is if someone gets a hold of your device, then they've got access to your whole life. And so we know how kids can be a little mischievous and want to play pranks and stuff like that. So they may think it's funny to take your device and log on to your social media accounts and say disparaging things. But the other aspect of that is stolen devices cost money. So you definitely don't want your kid to have their device stolen, because obviously it's going to cost you some money to get a replacement device. And, I mean, you know, with smartphones cost and tablets costing anywhere from $500 to $1,500, and, of course, laptops starting at $600, you definitely want to teach your kids to be a little bit more responsible and password protect their devices and to make sure that they're keeping them out of the hands of other kids and criminals.
Okay. And let's see. Did we touch on this yet? Limiting online gaming?
No, you skipped right over that one.
But sorry.
We can talk about it. Yeah, online games
I guess I went in priority to what hit me, but okay. Yeah, the online gaming thing. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, online games are a secret haven where kids can act up. There's no way to monitor chat on online games. And, of course, the other bad aspect of online gaming is that it's designed to be addictive. With your standard video game, there's like a beginning and an end. But with online games, it just keeps going on and on and on forever. And the next thing you know, your kid's addicted to a game, and there's, you know, it would be hard to get them off of their devices. So the best thing to do is to just keep them off online games, or maybe limit it for online games for the weekend. But their online games are dangerous and addictive.
Board games are still fun, y'all. There's some fun ones out there still.
I agree.
Family game night can be about board games, or even if you don't want to do it with the rest of your family members, your friends, y'all can do some board games. You know, there's some good ones out there. So, anyway, going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about something that I asked Burton about that it is not just relevant, I think, for I was thinking more in terms of what we could do in terms of helping Haiti, but this is relevant right now in terms of us going through hurricane season, and we'll talk a little bit about it when we get back. This is G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. This is Third Thursday with Burton Kelso of Integral. The number is 516-387-1944, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison, and I think I found a way to help you understand what is Chill Out Jazz.
Some of y'all may be confused because of the style we choose. We make jazz and R&B. We don't categorize. We just make what sound good, baby. Is it jazz?
It is what it is.
Is it R&B?
Tune in every Wednesday night at 10 on KHAM Radio.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720, Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Burton Kelso of Integral. The number, if you have questions about some of the stuff we've discussed or anything new that you want to add, the number is 516-387-1944. So I have just wondered when they talk about disasters, when they talk about water and needing water. I know there's this one person I still want to find out if this person is in need of any other help, but we're taking some desalination equipment over to Haiti to help. But the equipment he has still needs to run on some sort of source of energy. And I, my understanding is that the electricity was out on the island. I've always wondered about the use of solar tech to help with disasters. And so I asked Burton if he had any ideas or suggestions. And then, you know, I wanted to look into how we may be able to get some of these things over to Haiti. As well as having them in, you know, knowing where to get them for any type of natural disasters. We keep, it seems, swatting out some of these hurricanes that keep coming close to us here in Florida, but it is that time of the year. It is the season. So, anyway, what suggestions do you have, Burton?
Move from Haiti? But obviously that's not realistic as far as any of those island colonies down there. The challenge is that there's really no regulation or infrastructure in countries like Haiti, so you don't have the resources like we would have here in the States. So, for example, if you live in Florida and you want to endure a hurricane and not leave, you could you can always get a generator to a gas-powered or, gas, meaning natural gas or regular gas powered generator to keep things going while you sit out the hurricane. But it's kind of a tough deal because, I mean, if you want to have the resources or set up medical stations for Haiti, your only options there would be generators or solar powered generators. But I think most people think with some solar powered equipment that it's going to just power everything, and it just doesn't always work that way, because with solar, you've got the panels out, but it doesn't necessarily always power your device. So you would have to get like a battery wall or have battery to kind of take that solar power, store it in a battery, and then of course have it power devices down there that are needed to provide the services that the people of Haiti need.
Right. And I know that, it's not that it's not a permanent solution, but what I'm saying is that, okay, in the meantime, while you still need to be able to function in some capacity and not necessarily want to rely solely on daylight to do everything, with all of the cleanup and everything that needs to go on, you still need to have some sort of lighting at night. You still need to have some sort of things that are operational. For example, one of the things that I picked up a couple of hurricane seasons ago was a small Midland radio that had a hand crank, but it also had solar panels. So you could sit it out and get it. And it also had a USB port on it. I mean, small radio was about $30 or something, but it really had the capacity for a number of things, and we were without power for about 4 days. So there was no TV and no regular, you know, nothing, no electronics, no electric, and nothing. But we had this radio so that we could still, you know, keep abreast of what was going on, you know, recharged with solar. It also had the hand crank, and then, like I said, it had a USB port. So one of the things we could do is go out to my husband's car and plug it in if we needed to recharge it in his car. But still, it was something. And that's what I'm looking at, is that while, you know, no, this is not going to necessarily replace it, any type of infrastructure or create a new type of infrastructure, these devices still would be valuable in terms of being able to not just live in this ungodly darkness all the time and just trying to, you know, be able to get around and see to do what's what. You mentioned here back in 1988, Hurricane Hugo hit Guadalupe, St. Croix, Puerto Rico, and the southeast United States. Solar power was deployed for the first time ever in disaster relief. Through the nonprofit Sun Farmer, which provides solar power and batteries
right.
to remote hospitals and schools in developing countries. So that's why I keep bringing it up, because I know it's like, I mean, it may not be the thing that the end all, but it's something that's transitional and something you can do. You can buy some solar lights. I mean, the solar lights that you put to adorn your lawns, you could buy some solar lights and send over that at least some families would have to at least see to kind of get around and do some things in terms of the cleanup that they're doing in their you know, respective on their respective properties and stuff like that. I don't
right.
know, just the thought.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you completely. I mean, I think in those, in those the countries down in the Caribbean, I mean, I think solar would obviously be a good idea to set up on a permanent basis because
mm-hmm.
of the simple fact that those countries are always in, they get sun, like, I don't know, at least 300 days out of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think it would be an end-all, but the challenge, I mean, right now it's not going to be a big deal as far as the relief efforts, as far as providing solar devices, because there are a ton of solar devices that are able to help emergency responders and relief
mm-hmm.
efforts down in Haiti. But I
mm-hmm.
think moving forward, you know, with the problems they're having there, that they are going to have to set up some type of solar infrastructure to kind of help them keep going in event
mm-hmm.
that, say, another earthquake comes again. Because, I mean, you know,
yeah.
power lines
or
and
hurricane.
All that stuff get...
Yeah.
Right. So power lines and things of that nature will get knocked down. But
mm-hmm.
With solar, you can easily put up panels and get power to stuff on a regular basis. So there's a website you should check out called Jackery Power Outdoors. Now, Jackery doesn't do any relief efforts, but this kind of gives you the idea of the type of portable power that you could have for yourself and that responders can use to help in situations like Haiti. And
mm-hmm.
they've got everything. You can just buy panels. Jackery will allow you to buy portable power stations to power devices.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so the list is extensive. And it just
mm-hmm.
kind of gives you an idea of how much solar power has infiltrated our lives. And obviously, many of us don't rely on it because we've got access to, you know, just your standard line power. But Jackery makes generators and solar power
mm-hmm.
generators. They've got just panels that you can add on to generators. So, I mean, it's there. You know, you just have to really look and
see. You mentioned it, and I pulled up Amazon has it. I know a lot of people like to go to Amazon. Amazon has it, you know, there. And it's like, you know, I mean, for what you pay for just a regular gasoline generator, this costs just about as much, you know. And I don't know. I'm thinking it's going to last a little bit longer, whatever. I don't know about the endurance of solar batteries. And that's what, you know, these are things that I need to get educated on and everything like that. But I'm thinking it's also probably a little more environmentally friendly, too. And that's one of the things that I look at when I think of solar, too. I mean, I'm tempted to get one just for this, you know, and this one that I'm looking at, it says 518-watt outdoor solar generator, mobile lithium battery pack, for road trip, camping, outdoor adventure, you know, stuff like that. I guess that's part of that whole glamping thing that people are doing now. I don't know. But, these are the types of things that you could look at, you know, depending on what your resources are, or you can get together, let's say, with a church group or some sort of civic organization or whatever, and purchase and donate, you know. I agree with that completely. Yeah. So I just wanted to kind of get your take on what and this Jackery thing, I'm probably going to look into a little bit more because this looks like something that could be very, very beneficial. And it's, I think this Jackery portable power station is a little under $500. So like I said, you know, something you get together with a church group or a civic organization or something and say, hey, you know, this would be kind of a good alternative than, you know, while you're still doing other recovery things, at least, you know, make it a little bit more, you know, bearable in a sense by having some sort of solar lighting or some sort of solar power. This thing has USB ports and all types of stuff in it. So.
Right. One other product that you can look at, too, would be the – you don't necessarily have to go with solar. You could look at a – site called Rock Pot Pals, RockPals, but they have just regular portable power stations, and I think that would probably be good. And the good thing about Rock Pals is that you can get a foldable solar panel array to power, like you said, the Jackery stuff's good for camping, but in an emergency situation like that, you can definitely get something like the Rock Pals solar power portable kit to help people get through this crisis that they're having down in Haiti.
Okay. Thanks so much. I mean, you're very good about tolerating my little quirkiness. I really appreciate it. But, I mean, it's been on my mind, just thought there should have been something that could have been done in this type of arena in terms of using solar. And like you said, because of the fact that they have so much sun usually, it might as well, you know, try to look at taking advantage of it.
Oh, definitely. I agree. I mean, it's a renewable power source, so why not take advantage of it? And they should, especially in an area in the Caribbean where they get sunlight, like I said, around 300 days a year, so...
Right. Thanks, Burton. Really appreciate it. And I am going to be looking into this a little bit further. But I really appreciate you taking the time to look those up for me and so that we can get the word out to others. And hopefully they will, in turn, do something to get some of this equipment down to Haiti. So thank you so much. And have a blessed day. Talk to you.
No problem.
Thank you all for listening. Thank you. This has been G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. Talk with you tomorrow, God willing. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God.
He'll make it all right.
He'll make it all right.